Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Success Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things, we'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday Night Bible Study and the Success Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight, especially we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Success Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Success Gospel Bus here on the Success Radio Network, here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you again, once more, by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, Six Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the Success coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the Success coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the Six Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So, we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And we want to say welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday Night Bible Study here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang with you, saying welcome one, welcome all to the show tonight, especially our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Just press the number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things. As we get the Six Eyes Gospel Bus rolling out here tonight, we got a great program lined out for you tonight. So we'll tell you a little bit about that here in a moment. But first, we want to see Sister Ruth. Who do we got on the old Gospel Bus tonight?
Well, we have God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels, you and me.
Well. All right. Well, first off, what kind of request you got, Ruth?
I got a praise report. Like I said, I'm starting to come out of the woods with this bronchitis or whatever it is. It might be an allergy. But if I don't get better, I'll go see the doctor, the way those that have rule over you. And I got a good doctor. So actually, I've got quite a few good doctors. So I'm going to get it all worked out, and the Lord's going to have me live. I think I might live a lot of years yet. So, and we got Emily. I don't think she's feeling too well, and some of her personal issues I'm not getting into on the air. And just be with the people in Israel and everybody on the air that's having trouble. So we just want to praise the Lord.
And as usual, our situation over in Israel, about the conflict there, of course, all of our country's leaders, they seek after God, not after man. Then, of course, that our military and all of our first responders, police, fire, ambulance, those who work in hospitals, nursing homes, the doctors and nurses, no matter where they may be, and then, of course, our sick and shut-in, no matter where they may be at, and then, of course, the lost in general, especially that soul who is nearest hell, that maybe tonight that something is said or done might touch their heart, and then, of course, all the needs we have here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, and God knows everything. And like Ruth said, for Sister Emily and all of the needs, etc. So, Sister Ruth, we're going to have you open us in a word of prayer, and then I'll give you a little rundown of what we're going to get into.
Well, Lord, we love and praise your name, and thank you for what you do for us every day. We want to serve you in all ways, at all times. Praying again for all these people that need it, anyone on the over 100 countries, people that need it, Lord, you know what their needs are, which I don't know, but I'm sure they can tell you, and they can pray too. So we just want to praise your name, and thank you for helping Kenny in the ministry. There's been a lot of ups and downs, but you're bringing us through it. We're starting to have more fun, actually. And we just want to enjoy the program tonight, and everybody out there have a good time, and hopefully some people get saved and healed of some illnesses. You can do it all, sweetie. Love you. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, what we got in mind for you all tonight, we've got, of course, our great gospel music. Then, of course, we got a nice little message from our archives, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. Click Fearless Teachings. First, you click Sermons.
Go to Holiness Bibles, Holiness spelled H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles plural, 4-F-O-R, theblind.org. Then once you got that in your browser and you got it going, you go down that, you'll see the link right there. It says sermons. Click that. Then once you're on that page, go down that page to where it says Fearless, F-E-A-R-L-E-S-S, Fearless Teachings. Click that link, and then a big, long list of different titles will pop up in your screen. They're all alphabetic order from A to Z. Go down until you start hitting the letter T. In fact, the very last one of the letter T, just before you hit the letter U as umbrella, the very last of the letter T's is Treasures in the Darkness. Treasures in the Darkness. A nice little message by Johnny Erickson Tata that you'll love to hear tonight, so you'll want to check that out, is what we got that we're spotlighting tonight. And then after that, we already, as of last week, Tim Gruber with the song and poem, he was 10 for 11. Will he make it 11 for 12, or will he make it only as 10 for 12? We will see tonight. And then after that, Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Where are you taking us tonight?
God becomes all in all.
Sounds like a real good topic that you'll want to listen to, so stay tuned. And then, of course, we have open mic time at the end of the show for you, dear listener, if you wish to give any prayer requests, prayer praises that you may not have gotten at the beginning of the show. So, here we go. We're going to get right going right now into our broadcast and get into listening to all this great stuff. So, here we go.
I was thinking deep in sin, far from the peace. Shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, fills his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Thank you.
Letter N as Nancy, touch like you do at your fingertips, touch. King, like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by KJV1611Ruth at gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry at gmail.com. Again, KJV1611Ruth at gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling either Station 1 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Or Station 2 by calling 515-605-9340. Again, 515-605-9340. Press the number 1. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sundays on Station 1. Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
The Six Eyes Gospel Show, but you get your praise on without leaving the house.
1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. And then on Station 2. Cover to cover study of the Word with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Then on Mondays, on Station 2.
This is the Six Eyes Lost and Found. There are thousands of missing people every year. One of them, someone, somewhere, has seen them. Maybe that listener is listening tonight. Maybe that listener is you.
5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, and then on Station 1, Get Motivated.
My soul said yes, yeah, to your way, yes to your will, yes to trusting you, yes to obeying you. You're tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet.
9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Then on Tuesdays, on Station 2.
Don't laugh at me. Don't call me names. Don't get your pleasure from my pain. In God's eyes, we're all the same. Someday we'll all have perfect wings. Don't laugh at me.
The Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt. 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, and then on Station 1.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to 16 Road on the Sun of the Six Eyes Radio.
8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, then on Wednesdays on Station 2.
The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E.
She
did it
backwards,
she
did it forward, she did it backwards.
Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, as well as Sister Emily Barnum, with great music and scripture, as well as stories by Ranger Bill, Uncle Bob, and Sister Ruth. 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and then on Station 1. Time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org, with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. And then on Thursdays, on Station 2.
We'll join the everlasting song and sound. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star.
The Word.
Yeah,
on Six Eyes Radio, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. For the word of a king is there is power. They may say unto him, what doest thou?
1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, and then on Station 1.
For he took me as I was, oh praise his name. Hardly believe that the God of heaven
for the Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Then on Fridays, on Station 2.
Records on the Six Eyes Radio Network.
6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, and then on Station 1
with AJ and the Squad.
8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Pacific. Then on Saturdays, on Station 2.
Welcome everybody to the Six Eyes Radio Network, backstage at Six Eyes. Now this is the show where I'm going to be interviewing various people, celebrities, entertainers, authors, poets, candlestick makers, you name it. If they're doing anything, I'm going to be interviewing.
8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And finally, last but not least, on Station 1.
What's going on? You're tuned into the hottest radio station, the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Kicking It with Six Eyes, ATL and the crew. Six Eyes, ATL and the crew.
11:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Pacific. And now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8.
Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me.
Well, when was it the last time you heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And did you answer that call in the same way Isaiah did, saying, here am I, send me? Well, God told you that in his word in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore into all nations. He told you to go already. He already told you to go. No matter who you are, big or small, male or female, rich or poor, he said, go ye therefore into all nations. It is your job to go. He already said to go. He has already sent you. So, go. He is sending you. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Amen.
Yeah. It's heaven just to walk with him each day.
And now it is that time for Tim Gruber and his Hebrew Word of the Week.
Hello again, dear listener. This is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you from the land of Israel with another Hebrew Word for the Week. And the Hebrew Word for the Week this week is ransom, or albeit to ransom. And the way you say to ransom in ransom means to make payment for, albeit in the context, to make ransom. Lefdot. L E is in word. F as in T is in Timothy. Again, to ransom. Leaf. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 declare, for there is one God and one God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be due. Hebrew word for the week, to ransom. Leaf. L. D-O-T. This has been Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you again with Word for the Week. Until next time, God bless you and yours, and thanks again for your prayers.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address. 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X. E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
Precious Savior of mine.
beside me every day. He's no stranger to my soul. Such a friend he is to me all the way. Oh, how sweet he is to know.
Every day they pass me by, I can see in their eyes empty people filled with care. Who knows where on they go to private things.
Several years ago, when I was a kid in school, our class was reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day, and the school principal walked in, and he stepped in front of the class, and looking real serious, he said, "I have been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may, I would like to recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word. I, we, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, old glory, a symbol of freedom. And wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United, and that means that we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose, all divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country and to the Republic. Republic, a state in which sovereign powers is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern, and government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation. One nation meaning, oh, so blessed by God. Indivisible, incapable of being divided. With liberty, which is freedom. The right of power to live one's own life without threats, fears, or some sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others, for all. For all, which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And since I was that small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Oh, wouldn't it be a pity if someone said it's a prayer, and that would be eliminated from our schools, too.
Keep your hands on the wheel. and your eyes on the road. And we support this program
here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But, oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. And the category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This press officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she'd just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my father, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guess I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody, wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk, and my brother and sister are like zombies walking around in a daze. Please, somebody, no one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
The day of our accident, Jant and I took the kids to go see a Muppet movie, and we're going from there out to our church camp. And on the way to our church camp, the accident happened. Other than that, I can't tell you any more about that day. I don't remember recalling you that.
In July 1999, on a county road near Elkhart, Indiana, two cars were drag racing. Coming over the crest of a hill at 92 miles an hour, one of the cars slammed head-on into a van carrying Jim and Janet Slate and their four children.
I vaguely remember Jim swerving and kind of saying something in a panic and looking up, but I don't remember the trip in between, you know, how we get from one place to the other. I'd say probably the next memory was actually waking up at the scene of the accident and waking up because Haley was crying and asking what happened.
When we arrived, that was the first ambulance on scene, and it literally looked like a war zone. We actually came out of only a motor vehicle collision, but there was also fire involved, and there were multiple patients involved as well. So it was kind of a huge mass casualty situation rolled up into one. And I don't think anybody that was arriving on that scene was fully prepared for what we found.
But then the car that had hit us bursted into flames. And I remember just praying, because at that time Haley wasn't talking anymore. When I could see her, you could see the blood coming down her face. So I knew she had been hurt, but I didn't know how bad or what had happened. And Jim was in shock and unconscious and trapped under the steering wheel. So I knew that it had been bad. And I just remember when Haley was crying, I started praying out loud for all of them to hear me. And I just prayed and told God, we're ready to go. We're all ready to go, and that's okay. If that is your will, we're ready to go. And I didn't know at that time that hope had already died. John Simmons was also the other paramedic that was at the scene of the accident. And John was Jim's accountability partner and prayer partner, and we've been friends with their families for a long time. And, of course, John had started at Jim's side and worked his way around and was with each of the kids, and at that point didn't realize that it was us.
I arrived at Joey's side. Joey was not breathing either. I opened up Joey's airway and began to ventilate Joey. It was at that point that I realized who they were. I treated Joey until another ALS ambulance arrived and transferred care to that patient or to that ambulance crew. Once they took over Joey's care, I went back to the white van. At that point, they were extricating Janet from the van. I went up to Janet, and Janet looked at me, and she goes, "Hope's gone, isn't she?" And I said, "Yes."
Jim, Janet, and their daughter, Haley, suffered many severe injuries. Hannah and Joey were paralyzed from the waist down. Hope Abigail Slate, age 4. Perished in the accident. Jim and Janet attended Hope's funeral on stretchers. They watched as their precious daughter's body was buried, and with her, many of their hopes and dreams for their children. Now, they entered a world of losses, medical treatments, and permanent disabilities. On another warm July day, 3 decades prior to the Slate's accident, I too entered that same world of physical disability. I had just graduated from high school and I was preparing for college. My sister and I went to the beach in the Chesapeake Bay, and I swam out to a raft anchored offshore. I took a breath and dove into the water, and in that moment, my life changed. I was paralyzed from the neck down. During recovery, I had a lot of questions about life and about God.
The question that
kept plaguing me at first was, why me? Why not somebody else? Why not a neighbor, a friend, someone else across town? And the very question itself raised an image of God throwing dice or God spinning a roulette wheel. And the idea that God could be that capricious and that offhanded by willy-nilly picking, choosing whomever should might get slapped broadsided with this suffering to me was more terrifying than the accident itself.
I remember after the accident, laying in the hospital that day after coming out of surgery, one of the first things I did was just cried out to God. It's like, I cannot physically walk right now. And spiritually, I don't know if I can walk either because I feel so broken and so let down. I mean, your first thought is, God, why? Why did you let this happen?
And it was after the surgery, she came back very weak and tired and truly in despair, I think. And she's like, Lord, I either need to run away from you or I either need to run to you.
You know, that question, why, is so funny. It's just so strange. It's so odd. It's never dry or inert or unemotional. It's always why, and aimed at a person, aimed at somebody. Somebody's got to pay. Somebody's got to explain here. Why?
The most difficult whys come when we have done nothing wrong, when we suffer for a mistake or a sin or a crime committed by someone else. Jim and Janet's precious daughter was dead. Two of their young children were paralyzed. Even the man that hit them had pleaded not guilty for what he had done. Why, God? Why?
I know what it is like to cry out to God, why? And I know what it's like to hear the silence after my prayer. And as time goes by, the question changes.
Instead of asking God why, the question becomes, can I trust God with this?
And so when we ask why, I think all we want God to do is be a daddy, to reach down and pick us up and hold us to his breast and pat us on the back and say, there, honey, daddy's here. God is here. Everything's going to be okay. I think that's all we want when we ask why. We just want the fatherly assurance that our life is not spinning out of control. It's not in some nightmarish chaos, that somehow, in some divine way, everything is going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
From the very beginning, my first recollection, I knew that God had a plan for it. I wasn't worried. It's not like me to normally be so optimistic, but God seriously calmed me so much. I mean, I had a peace that passes all understanding.
Yeah, it was probably about 2 or 3 months after the accident when I saw him for the first time, and I was amazed at the peace that him and Janet both had about the whole thing, not only the injuries that they were dealing with, but the loss of hope and the physical limitations of their children at that point. The peace that he had was overwhelming. And he even shared with me after the fact, when we got back to meeting on a weekly basis, how he would look back at those times and say, John, that wasn't even me. That was God literally carrying me through all this stuff, because it was looking back on it, I couldn't have done it without him.
It's one thing to trust that everything's going to be okay in the first few moments type of thing, but as it got further out, that's when I was kind of like, Lord, you really are still there, aren't you? But he proved himself all along the way to Jant and I, almost daily.
The Slates trusted in God's sovereignty, that he was in control over their lives, even in their time of darkness. It gave them a peace and a hope in a hopeless situation. And you know, when we suffer, others do watch. People look closely into the lives of those who suffer. They look to see if what we believe really counts when it hurts.
Their faith was apparent through the entire accident from the very beginning. I remember the news coming to the hospital wanting to interview them, and not once did they ever, I don't even know how to put it into words, they always talked about God being first in their life and how he was in control of the situation. And even though they didn't know what was going on, they trusted God.
The funeral was pretty highly publicized, and Jim and Janet came by way of ambulance, had a number of medical staff attending to them. They were both still in hospital beds. I think our services probably took on a different flavor for quite a while, of just songs and the themes of the services took on the flavor of God is faithful, God is good, he loves us, he extends his mercy to us, probably more than we had for quite a while, just because we are all kind of asking those questions, and I think probably a lot of people weren't asking them out loud. They're asking them deep down inside and wondering just what do we have to hold on to in this time, and how can we show our faith, how can we live out in the midst of this trial.
When I was first injured, I needed to know that God had his hands on the wheels of my life. I needed to know how and to what extent he was in control of this suffering. It frightened me to death to think he took his hands off the wheel and somehow lost control and was helpless to do anything about my disability. And I was plagued with questions like, if God is powerful and God is good, then why wasn't he powerful enough to stop it? And if he was, and he could have stopped it but didn't, then how in the world can he be good? I think that's the problem that most of us wrestle with. And the answer I found is a little convoluted, but boy, it helped me. And that is, if God didn't control suffering or evil or hardships or catastrophes, then, oh my goodness, evil and catastrophes and suffering would come barreling at us uncontrolled. And I don't know about you, but I cannot live in a world of unrestrained evil. I can't abide a world in which there's no divine hand holding back the flood of maladies and ailments and cancers and diseases and deformities and accidents and illnesses and injuries. Oh, God, you must be in control. Please don't take your hands off the wheel for a nanosecond. It takes faith to believe that, but I did, and I think the slates did, and it has helped enormously.
God started preparing us for the accident before the accident ever even happened. We had went through an incredible Bible study, a discipleship study, a few weeks before the accident. We were only halfway through when the accident happened. But in that study, it was such an awesome growing time for Jim and I. And God, and our pastor at the time, Pastor Phil, was like, you know, as we were going through the study, he's like, okay, while you're doing this, I recommend you to read Romans. When you're done reading Romans, read Romans again. And then when you're done, I want you to read it again. So by the time we're done with this, you should have read Romans four times. So we started digging into Romans. And while we were reading Romans and going through the study at the same time, it was just incredible to me, some of the truths. It's like, I had read Romans before. But it's like being in that atmosphere and that study and that frame of worship, I mean, daily worship, the truth that he brought out was just incredible to us. And I see that now. That was God's timing. That was in his timing that we would go through that and develop some of those truths and skills within us that God was trying to show us.
For Jim and Janet, the book of Romans became a treasure. In their time of darkness, here's some of what they found. We also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God.
And then it brought me back to searching the scriptures and trying to figure out the answers that I had. Where do we go from here? How do we handle this? How do we use this so that God can be glorified in all of this? How do I find that strength and that peace? And it was there, you know, starting from the peace from the moment I saw Hope laying on the ground and knowing she was gone, and that peace that he gave me to even now, to knowing where hope is, to knowing that my kid's future are in his hands. There's a peace there. There's an intimacy.
It's natural to ask, how can this suffering be God's will in my life? I remember when I asked that question, a friend of mine just answered it with a question back. He said, well, Johnny, let me ask you something. Look at Jesus' life. He went to the cross. Do you think that was God's will? Well, I mean, I didn't know much about the gospel story, but it sounded good to me. Sure, it was God's will that Jesus go to a cross. And I mean, we've been talking about it for the last 2,000 years. I guess it's God's will. But then my friend said, but consider Johnny. It involved torture. It involved murder. It involved mock justice. It involved treason from someone like Judas Iscariot. I mean, how can any of that be God's will? Justice, injustice, murder, torture, treason. But yet, God permits what he hates. He hates all those things. He hates diving accidents. He hates spinal cord injuries. He hates the fact that drunk drivers careen into the front end of cars. He hates these things. But yet, he permits, allows for these things to happen, those things he hates, to accomplish something that he loves. And what is it that he loves? He loves the look on Janet Slate's face, or Jim's, my face, that looks trustingly up to him and says, I believe you. I know that you're after something in my life that goes far deeper than the physical, far deeper than hands that work or feet that walk. It's the changed heart. It's the refined soul that's settled. It's peace that's profound. It is hope buoyant and new. It is a positive perspective on life. It is the ability to share that with others who are hurting. God permits things he hates to accomplish that kind of stuff, because that's the stuff he loves.
For me personally, I never needed God as much as I needed him through the time of the accident, but needing him that deeply took my relationship that deeply, so it's a much deeper relationship, and I'm grateful for that and the lessons that I've learned and just the closeness that I can have with him now. But it was like I had to need him that desperately to have him feel that, to have that comfort and that relationship. So it was through that the relationship was allowed to go more intimate, and I think that's what we learned in this accident. God didn't take the storm away when we called to him, but he provided that shelter, that refuge, and that comfort for us to seek while we were going through the storm. Weeks before, I said, God, use our family any way you want. Use us. We are yours. I give you each of my children to do with what you want because they're yours. My job is to raise them to serve you and to know you and to love you. So when he took hope, I couldn't be angry with him because I'd given him the permission to do that, you know. There was a peace in letting her go. And just 2 weeks before, the accident, Hope had made a song that she sang, I don't want to go down, I want to go up because I love Jesus. And I just started thinking, she's where she wanted to be. That's where she wanted to be. She had such an in-depth love of Jesus for being only 4 years old. And, you know, I think every parent who loses a child needs to idealize that child that's gone. But she truly wanted a very bright, mature little girl for her age. And I think that goes back to God knowing that he wanted us to give as much of her as we could in the 4 years that we had her.
The Bible could be no clearer. God does ask his children of every nation and walk of life to suffer. But they are not asked to walk alone in the suffering, nor are they asked to suffer without a purpose.
You know, one of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians 1:3-5, and it talks about our comfort comes from Christ. Because of that comfort, I can give comfort to others. I would never have the comfort to give to people had I not been through this valley. I wouldn't have it. I could try to understand. It's like you're in this elite club once you've lost a child or lost somebody you love dearly. You know, you have to pay a high price to be there, and you can only be there through the loss. But there is a bond there. There's an understanding. It goes beyond sympathy, you know, to truly understanding where they're at and understanding those stages of grief. And in an odd way, that is a gift. That is one of the gifts God's given us and good that's come out of it because of the comfort that God showed us, the comfort that we received from our church family, our community, and our friends. We're now able to turn around and give that comfort to those who we come in contact with. And I'm grateful for that.
Today, Jim and Janet Slate, as well as Hannah, Haley, and Joey, serve other families in need through Hope Ministries, named for Hope Abigail Slate. Helping other people endure comes alongside individuals and families who have experienced a devastating accident or a loss in their lives.
You know, Jim, I just started thinking we could use what we've been through to glorify God. You know, not to be able to say that we've been through this so we know all, but to be able to say we've been through this so we'll walk through it with you, because we can't take it away from anybody, but we can walk through it with them and hopefully along the way be able to say, do you see where God's working? Do you see how God is faithful here? Jim and I have said a lot as far as we'd never want to go through this accident again or have to go through the loss of a child again to learn the things that we've learned, but we're grateful that there have been good things come out of it. And Hannah had shared with me once that she thinks that that's one of the miracles of this, is how God can turn something that was really bad and make good into it, that is a miracle. And when, you know, I started thinking about it, I'm like, she's absolutely right. Who else could take something so devastating and be able to have anything good come out of it?
God's time, I will understand. You touched my life so much that it hurts so much. Your mommy and I can't wait to see you with Jesus for all eternity. Love, Daddy.
Hope, you used to sing the song you made up. I don't want to go down, I want to go up. Because I love Jesus, now you are there. I miss you so much. I know I will see you again someday in heaven. I love you, your big sister, Hannah. Hope, you are my best little sister. I wish I could see you. You are in my heart. Do you know that? I love you, your sister Haley. Hope, you are my best buddy. I miss you so much, and I remember all the times we ate candy together. Love, your brother Joey.
Hopey, you have touched my life in such a dynamic way. I know that is the reason your absence leaves such an incredible pain. My comfort comes from knowing you are with Jesus. I know you are where you most wanted to be. I miss so much your tender touch and strong will. I will hold close my memories of you always in your bathing suit and holding your BB. God has promised me that our separation will not be long, and someday soon we will join you for all eternity in heaven. With all of my love, Mommy.
Whenever I begin to feel, even now, even still, the darkness of confusion or discouragement cloud my vision, I think back on a trip I once took with my mom to Carlsbad Caverns. We went way down into the pit of this cavern, and the guide turned out the light. It was so dark and so frightening. You could not see your hand in front of your face. And yet, in the darkness, I heard my mother's voice, and I found her hand. And never did that hand feel so comforting and securing than when, as a little girl, I found it in the dark. And I believe that suffering is very much like that. God, because He is a mysterious God and His ways are far beyond ours, God knows sometimes often when to let the darkness fall. Through an accident, an illness, a disappointment, a heartache. But when He does, we hear His voice. We reach out. We find His hand. And never, never does the hand of God feel so warm, feel so secure, feel so comforting as when in the dark. And that's the treasure in darkness that can be found.
Time for Kim to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
Ha ha! Put on your seatbelts, everybody. Put on your food belts.
The most fattening time of the year, with that pumpkin pie filling and everyone swilling down eggnog and beer. It's the most fattening time of the year. It's the lip smacking a season. Shopping, you're cheating, impulsively eating that junk at the mall. It's the heaviest season of all. There'll be turkeys for basting and stuffing for tasting, and giblets and gravy will flow. There'll be cookies that Mom baked and a leftover fruitcake from a Christmas a long time ago. Scale flattening time of the year. While your diet you're blowing, there's calories going straight down to your rear. It's the scale flattening time of the year.
Hey, wait a minute, wait a minute. I know there's fruit everywhere. Eggnog flowing out of fountains. It's like one big bar mitzvah. But listen, you don't have to do that. You could have small portions and make ribbons instead of fudge. You can do it. Please try.
It's too cold to go jogging, too brisk for tobogganing, so pass me a hot buttered roll.
Don't you dare touch that roll. I'm watching.
It's the most fattening time. And chocolate Kris Kringles will tremble in fear. It's the most fattening time. It's a bell blue-fattening time. It's the most fattening time of the year. Lord
of all pots and pans and things, since I've not time to be a saint by doing lovely things or watching late with thee or dreaming in the dawn light or storming heaven's gates, make me a saint by getting meals and washing up the plates. Although I must have Martha's hands, I have a merry mind. And when I black the boots and shoes, thy sandals, Lord, I find. I think of how they trod the earth, what time I scrubbed the floor. Accept this meditation, Lord. I haven't time for more. Warm all the kitchen with thy love and light it with thy peace. Forgive me all my worrying and make my grumbling cease. Thou who didst love to give men food in room or by the sea, accept this service that I do. I do it unto thee.
All right, Tim. Now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
I'm pretty sure I can give you one. And it goes like this. The idolatry. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God during that time of the year that the world calls.
And are you sure you want that to be your final answer?
Yes, I'm sure, Brother Wolfgang. Final answer.
Well, I will definitely accept that because the idolatrous thing of pleasure at that time of the year, or another answer I would have accepted is pray for the sin of gluttony. Pray for the sin of gluttony. So both work. So you've got that one again. And so far, you are now 11 for 12. With the foot on the gas, you seem to be heading for possibly taking the lead. So,
sounds good. 11-12. 11 out of 12 we got so far. So, by the grace of God, we're going to keep you as you put on the gas.
For sure, for sure. So, Emily and Pastor Bonnet, he's coming for you. Be looking in the rear of your mirror. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
essence, God becomes all in all. Beautiful title. One of the most often seriously discussed passages of Scripture is that one in Paul's writing where he talks about that God may be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15:28. In other words, more Bible readers, and especially younger students of the Scriptures, become endlessly confused with the very first words in this particular portion of Scripture where it says, then cometh the end. 1 Corinthians 15:24. The end of what? When does God become all in all? As we earnestly study the Word of God, beginning with the making of the first man, Adam, God placing him in a beautiful environment and observed his sin and forcible expulsion of him and his wife from the garden, his forgetful posterity, Noah being ordered to build a large boat for the saving of him and his household, then the inevitable flood with only eight people being brought through the waters, we wonder, when does the end come? When does God become all in all? The scattering of the people of the Tower of Babel, and then God assigning them bounds of their habitation, followed by God dealing personally with a family by the name of Abram. The ultimate slavery in Egypt with the sheep herder, Moses leading them out, going up the mount and getting two tablets of stone, 10 specific laws. We still ponder the question, when does God become all in all? Well, then the man came, then mankind endeavored to live under those laws for 1,500 years, followed by Jesus Christ going to the middle Cree and paying the penalty of Adamic sin. So all of this we have not been able to see, even the partial fulfillment of God becoming all in all. We must say, God is far from it because the gross sins of mankind have reached colossal proportions, far exceeding the expectations of even the Godhead. Yet for approximately 2,000 years, the nail-scarred, outstretched hands of Jesus Christ have been repeatedly beckoning to a lost world to come and kneel at the old rugged cross, there to meet God face to face and have the precious blood applied to their sins and receive forgiveness, thereupon becoming the recipients of eternal life. Still, we do not see that God has become all in all, even near the end of this 2,000-year church age in which we live. Someday, quite suddenly, the storm clouds of tribulation, Daniel 9:24-27, will break over this earth's horizons. And the Bible says mankind will be plunged into a time of trouble, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, or ever shall be. Matthew 24:21. This short 7-year period will be climaxed by Jesus Christ returning to mighty power and glory to judge the Gentile nations, Matthew 25:31-46, then placing the 12 tribes under the rod of judgment, establishing the 12 apostles on 12 thrones, ruling them for a reign of 1,000 years. When that period of 1,000 years duration has run its complete course, then Satan, who had previously been bound in the bottomless pit during the kingdom age, is released and again recruits an army, attempts to attack the city of Jerusalem, but fire, God, out of heaven, destroys the entire army. Revelation 20:7-9. That Jesus Christ will have dictatorially maneuvered this world system into a psychological position of absolute control, where he will be able to return a runaway world to the Father, and then God becomes all in all, 1 Corinthians 15:28. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible reveals all of this to us. Let's thoughtfully examine some of the routine procedures that are to be instituted during the day of the Lord,
commonly referred to by Bible students as, the Kingdom Age. Please bear in mind that 1 Corinthians 15:24-28 is not being fulfilled at this time, but the world will have to be in a future submissive position that is every knee bowing and every tongue confessing before Christ and literally return a runaway planet to the Father. Therefore, 1,000 years of time is involved in the process of reclaiming, restructuring, coordinating this earth. So God would have at the conclusion of the Kingdom Age when he normally would have had in the beginning as recorded in Genesis 1:1, John 1:1 through 3, and Colossians 1:16. In the beginning, whenever this period of time was, as recorded in Genesis, has been altered tremendously by angelic and human sin, and the complete process of 7,000 years of time between two eternities has been in operation and will continue on our out into and through the Kingdom Age to bring about a runaway world so the universe can be returned to the Father and God becomes all in all. First of all, we are told in the first seven verses of Revelation chapter 20, period of 1,000 years will be required under the administrative control of Jesus Christ to perfect the finalization of righteousness on this planet so it can be brought into absolute subjection, wherefore God becomes all in all. Scripture, and I saw an angel come down from heaven. He laid hold on the dragon and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Revelation 20, verses 1 through 7. You see, God means 1,000 years, the final workable probationary period of time required even by the Son of God to bring in everlasting righteousness so God becomes all in all. And that's 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 to 28, of course, in your King James Version Bible. Eventually, the question comes into the mind of the average person. Who's going to rule with Christ during this Kingdom Age? Who's going to be instrumental in authoritative capacities to bring about a world of righteousness so God becomes all in all? This profound question is often asked by sincere truth-seeking believers. The much-discussed question is explained and set forth in the parable of the pounds, which is really the explanation for the postponing of the earthly kingdom. In this interesting parable, the inquiry is made relative to the manner in which the servants have gained by trading. That is, occupying till I come. That is, how did they serve God while the king was away? We are plainly told that the first servant was steadfastly faithful and was given authority over 10 cities. The second was given authority over 5 cities. Luke 19, verses 11 through 26. In other words, the New Testament believer will be rewarded in the Kingdom Age in the manner in which he serves God in the Church Age. That's why the nobleman in the parable of the 10 pounds, before he went into a far country, called his servants together and instructed them to occupy till I come. It's exactly what our position in the Church Age. We are occupying for Jesus Christ, and when he returns to assume personal administration of this earth during the Kingdom Age, we will serve him in the capacity of administrators relative to the manner in which we are served while he was away. We are to become administrators with him during the Kingdom Age. Naturally, there's some inevitable misunderstanding among believers as to the manner of body we will occupy during the Kingdom Age, because not too much is said in Scripture our bodies at that time, but there's enough said that we know some of the details. For instance, once Jesus Christ comes in the clouds of glory, at the time of the translation of the church,
We are plainly told that our bodies are to be changed. We are to receive new bodies, changed from the earthy to the heavenly, changed from the dirt body to the spiritual. And this is all set forth in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, beginning with verse 39, through the rest of the chapter. This does not alter the fact that there will be physical human beings on the earth during the kingdom age. There will be human beings who escape the war of Armageddon, such as people who were in penitentiaries, people in hospitals, old folks' homes, convalescent hospitals, people who were hiding out, people who escaped the onslaught of Satan and were not actually involved in Armageddon. There will be physical people occupying the earth at that time, and naturally, they will multiply their kind and increase in number during the kingdom age. We'll be ruling over them as administrators with God's dictator. This is further borne out on the book of Matthew, where it says, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but as the angels of God in heaven." Matthew 22:30 in your King James Version Bible. In other words, after the translation of the church, once we move into the realm of the kingdom age as administrators, we are to be as the angels of God. By that I mean, wherever you see angels mentioned in Scripture, it has reference to men coming and doing various things for God. There are no women or baby angels mentioned in Scripture. Whenever they appear as ministering spirits for God, that's Hebrews 1:14, they always appear as men. Sorry, ladies, they have supernatural bodies. They are able to appear and disappear, and in the kingdom age, we will have those same kind of bodies. We'll be able to appear and disappear because we'll be reigning with Christ as the angels, as administrators during the kingdom age, over 10 cities, some over 5 cities, some over 2 cities, and I personally hope to get a back alley. At least I'm working on it. So we're beginning to see how Jesus Christ, God's great dictator, using 1,000 years of time, will be able to bring in everlasting righteousness, which will put him into the position to return to earth to the Father as God becomes all in all. Naturally, a question arises in the hearts and minds of some people as the place Christ will rule during the kingdom age. There's only one answer to that question, and the answer is Jerusalem will be the world capital at that time. Jerusalem is the eternal city, contrary to what some people teach. Christ will have his international headquarters at Jerusalem, and from there will flow all of the governmental directives and executive orders of the kingdom age. The entire world systems will be under his supreme control. Scripture. And many people shall go and say, "Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Isaiah 2 and verse 3. Please read verses 2, 3, and 4 for the complete explanation. One of the many reasons for Jerusalem being the world capital is that it's located at the geographical center of the earth's land surface. Isn't that amazing? Here's another scripture. Thus saith the Lord God, "This is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst or middle of the nations and countries that are round about her." Ezekiel 5 and verse 5, of course, in King James Version. The Bible further says that the nations of the earth during the kingdom age will be required to send ambassadors and diplomatic representatives to Jerusalem, the world capital, once a year, to acknowledge Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Praise the Lord. Scripture, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Zechariah 14:16. Please read verses 16 through 21 of the same chapter for the entire explanation. We're told in Scripture that during the kingdom age, while Jesus Christ is perfecting a reign of righteousness prior to God becoming all in all, there will be certain civil and religious laws to be obeyed by all the nations of the earth. Scripture, "Of the increase of the government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, Luke 1:32, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, Isaiah 9:7. In other words, there will be laws to be obeyed, and if those laws are not respected, then certain judgment will be administered upon the offenders. This is borne out in the scripture, which says, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed, Isaiah 65:20. In other words, if a person commits a sin, they'll have to be judged by the law governing that particular sin. Capital punishment will be administered during the kingdom age, because Christ will be bringing into harmony the entire world population prior to handing over this earth to the Father. And so God becomes all in all. Now another scripture, and he, King of Kings, Jesus Christ, shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Isaiah 11:4-5, King James Version. So, let me emphasize this truth most emphatically. In many years, our verses of Scripture throughout both the Old and New Testament, there are the declarations that laws will be in effect during the kingdom age. It will be necessary to have fundamental laws and also faithfully execute them in order to prepare a world so that universal righteousness will prevail prior to God becoming all in all. During the 1,000-year period of time, the tribes of Israel will be given all of the original promised land made available to Abraham. This is firmly substantiated in several portions of Scripture, such as Scripture, and I will give unto thee, Abram, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Genesis 17:8, KJV. There's a scripture. They, thy people, shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Isaiah 60:21. The Bible says the New Testament 12 apostles during the kingdom age will be assigned individual tribes over which they will rule and govern. It further bears out the fact that the entire world population at that time will be under the control of representative government and must obey civil and religious laws. Scripture, and Jesus said unto them, that ye which have followed me, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Matthew 19:28. So the kingdom age is going to be of 1,000 years duration, because it will be the time of extensive preparation, which Jesus Christ, being assisted by proven administrators, will bring about a time of godly righteousness upon the earth. Every facet of man's activities in that day, including both Jew and Gentile, will be carefully scrutinized and controlled by God's dictator, who will rule the earth with a rod of iron, Revelation 19:15, in your King James Version Bible. It will be obey or else, because the kingdom age laws will be enforced to the letter. Universal knowledge of the Lord will prevail from one end of the earth to the other. There will be no such thing as ignorance of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Scripture, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there will be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an sign of the people. To it, the root, shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Isaiah 11:9-10. It appears that during the kingdom age, the Gentile nations will be located in the part of the earth God originally gave to each nation and race. Contrary to what some people might think or believe, God is responsible for locating the various peoples of the earth in their own several locations. Confirmed in two portions of Scripture, one in the Old Testament, the other in the New Testament. Now here's a scripture. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 32:8, Scripture, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of habitation Acts 17:26. You see, much administrative work is yet to be accomplished before God becomes all in all. That's why it will require 1,000 years known as the Kingdom Age for Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to having about a world of righteousness before he can return it to God the Father. Population at that time will experience divine healing for everybody. There will be universal peace. There will be prevail universal prosperity at all levels of economy. Full and complete justice will be meted out to all mankind. Human life will be prolonged indefinitely. Animal natures will be changed to correspond to that which existed before the fall of Adam. Love and righteousness will prevail on a universal scale. Fruitful seasons will be enjoyed without interruption. The natural abundance of everything will be far above that which mankind has ever experienced. Material blessings will fill the entire earth, and all mankind will be without want or need in the Kingdom Age. Be a time of a universal wealth in every facet of man's life. Then, when the world system reaches the apex, or the zenith of the kingdom rule, Christ will be in a position to return this runaway, wayward earth to the Father. It will be at that time that God becomes all, in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 to 28, will become a reality. It will be literally fulfilled. Praise the Lord. We carefully examine five short verses of Scripture, which were written by the Apostle Paul. We see the logical reason for the Kingdom Age. These verses of Scripture in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 24 through 28, give us and the climactic close of the Kingdom Age. They pull back the frayed curtain of time, revealing the revolutionary exactment of the climax of 7,000 years of time, which God has placed between two eternities. Let's examine these five verses carefully. Here's the first scripture. Then cometh the end of the Kingdom Age, when he shall have delivered up the earthly kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which and did put all things under him. And all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. In 1 Corinthians 15:24-28. At the end of the Kingdom Age, this portion of Scripture will be completely fulfilled. At the end of the Kingdom Age, Jesus Christ will put down all rebellion and will deliver the kingdom to God. That cannot happen until the Kingdom Age has run its course, even though Satan makes his one final last-ditch try during the end of the Kingdom Age. Yet that short-lived rebellion is squelched immediately because Christ has invested almost 1,000 years of personal rule at that immediate time. Therefore, he can't run any chance of his kingship work being of no avail. Rebellion in all forms must be put down immediately. God cannot take any chances with evil. So, we just basically see why God is permitting 7,000 years of time to be placed in between two eternities. 4,000 years of that time was used beginning with Adam in the garden on up through the five probationary periods of time, ending with Jesus Christ going to the cross of Calvary. And according to the scripture, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. 2 Peter 3:8. If we take that in a little sense, we realize that the church age has now been underway at almost 2 days or 2,000 years, making a total of time elapsed since Adam, approximately 6,000 years. And then with the coming of the Lord imminent, momentarily, we can expect mankind after the tribulation period to be thrown into the Kingdom Age, and thus God would have placed 7,000 years between two eternities. Once Jesus Christ becomes this world back to the Father and God becomes all in all, then we can expect the whole of mankind of all ages to find himself being mustered at the great white throne judgment, some to be judged and some to be witnesses against those being judged. Then comes the renovation of the sin-scarred earth by fire. the recreation of the new earth, the descent of the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It will be into that New Jerusalem, the holy city, saved mankind will live throughout the countless ages of God's eternities. Then God becomes all in all. Yes, praise the Lord. Praise God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And the next lesson will be the bride.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Welcome to the Six Eyes Stay Warm But Safe segment, where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician, not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever, that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, clutter, etc. around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas-type fireplaces or wood-burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to check the cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plug plugs into the wall socket. Be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, the space that a space heater should have. All space heaters should have a clearance or space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater and your right leg next to the object you want to make sure there's space between. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself. This is at least a 2-foot space or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this is, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated, and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be a 2-foot span around the heater and at least over the top of the heater from the top of the heater to your ceiling should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans, do not place anything on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type because of the reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family. They would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters or propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults, should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use are all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm, because it is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead.
Hello, my name is Ian of Asheville, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim, and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 2061, and the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember, I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Skies Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIX. E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network, and once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And finally, Sister Ruth, who do we got with us here on the old gospel bus as we pull into the station?
Now we have God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels, you and me.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to have you give us a closing prayer, and then we're just going to welcome everybody to, of course, the shows tomorrow. There's, of course, just one show on this station, Station 1, and that is AJ and the Squad, o'clock, or 9 o'clock, I should say. Let me re-say that again. That is the word of the... The Truth of the Matter at 9 p.m. I'm getting my days mixed up here. The Truth of the Matter, 9 p.m. on this station, Station 1. You call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617, 9 p.m. Eastern, for The Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick. So with that, we're going to ask Sister Ruth to give us closing prayer, and we're going to say God bless, good night, and have a good evening.
Well, dear Lord, we love you, sweetie, and hopefully everybody had a good time tonight in all those 100 countries or more. And be with Emily. She wasn't on, so she must be pretty sick, because she usually loves to listen to these shows. So just bless her, Lord, and heal her body, because I know she hasn't been feeling good. And I thank you for what you're doing to mine. I think I'm going to get ready to get outside more. I'm really getting happy. I'm starting to feel like I can move, and I thank you, Lord, for that. With the leg cramps and things that are going on, I believe you can take care of it all. You can take care of Kenny's problem with his leg cramp, Charlie horse, whatever. And he was six. He was on for a few minutes today, and we missed him. So we'll have to get him the next time. Hopefully he'll come on again. All right. We love you and praise your name, sweetie. And all right, everybody have a good night. Love you. Bye-bye.
God bless. Have a good evening.